Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, give us a call, send in a text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on the show today. We have a whole bunch of guests next hour. Coming up at 11:06, right after the 11 o'clock news, Kurt Vogel and Ashlyn Kirk are with the Humane Animal Handling Institute, which is based out of UW River Falls. And they have a program essentially for producers to humanely handle them from birth to slaughter.
Yeah.
If that makes you a little squeamish, I'm just giving you a heads up. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. If you ever watched, HBO had a movie on Temple Grandin a number of years ago, and she was an autistic woman who thought in pictures and helped design cattle slaughter operations so that the cattle wouldn't be frightened and freaked out and spooked out before they went to their end.
Yeah.
And so this kind of, to me, at least from what I know about the Humane Animal Handling Institute, is kind of along the same idea. So Kirk and Ashlyn will be joining us at 11:06, 11:33, Maya Reinfeld and James Lattice will be here to talk about Universe in the Park. And this is something from the astronomy department at UW-Madison, happening at different locations all across Wisconsin. And it's an opportunity for you to get out in your own neighborhoods and look up at the stars.
Love it.
And I know, you're all about space.
I love space.
You love space. So that's all coming up next hour. This hour, though, want to remind you, we have Brewers tickets. We will be giving away at 10:50. We've got a little trivia question for you coming up at 10:50. If you would like to go see the Brewers host the Pirates, this is for Wednesday night, and it's at 7:10. So we got a pair of tickets for Wednesday night's game as the Brewers host the Pirates, 7:10 at AmFam Field. Stick around at 10:50 for a little trivia to kick things off, and you can pick up those tickets. Wanted to start off, though, with this just exploded over the weekend. I was off. We were both off on Thursday. Mm-hmm. You and Calvin held down the fort on Friday. Thank you for doing that. Oh, by the way, before I forget, shout out to our colleague, Earl Ingram, who was like a media superstar over the weekend. He was on CNN. He was on MSNBC. He was, because he did an interview with President Biden last week, and it was an honor.
Yeah.
And so well done to our colleague, Earl Ingram. As we are talking about politics, this just kind of exploded. And Greg, you and I and Calvin, we've talked about this on Matt Nair on Air for quite a few months.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Project 2025. This just exploded all over my Twitter feed over the weekend.
Yes.
It's like all of a sudden people are going, wait, what? What?
Well, we've been talking about it for a while. And then John Oliver did a piece about 2 weeks ago, very sobering, talking about the things we were talking about. And then now it seems like the cracks are starting to show. And
you know what else helped put it over the edge?
Hmm.
Was Taraji P. Henson at the BET Awards. She did a brief message that really cut through. Calvin, let's play. Project 2025 is not a game.
The Project 2025 plan is not a game. Look it up.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
People started Googling it big time, which is good.
Bigly.
Bigly. Yes. Yeah. They were searching bigly. We've talked about it. I don't think we can't talk about it every day for 2 hours every day.
No.
I saw a cartoon this morning that said, as much as I want to be informed, I want to stay sane as well for people who just don't want to live in the news.
Well.
And I respect that and I appreciate that. But it remains that this is very important.
Yeah. And it's something we're going to probably be talking about every week at least.
Certainly.
And you're going to be hearing a lot of it from all of us here on Civic Media because this is tremendously important. This is not something to be, this is not be like, oh, it's just
a thing
and it won't happen. That's how it happens. When you are when you least expect it, you have your back turned. That's when it happens. And getting the notice it deserves is important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw on Twitter this morning, a new poll, opposition to Project 2025 grows as people learn more about the plan after reading the 19 proposed policies for Project 2025, opposition grows from 49 to 63%.
Yeah.
And support for the plan goes down from 31 to 24%.
And That's not all. They're not talking to all liberals, I imagine.
No.
They're talking to all people.
Absolutely. They're talking to independents and swing voters and conservatives.
Yeah.
I mean, MAGA Republicans are going to be all behind this anyway because it essentially reworks our democracy.
Yeah. And then, but I also am going to venture that they're not reading it, because if it's coming down from on high, they're like, of course it's great. I don't have to worry about that. But you don't know what's in there that can rework your freedoms and liberties and your life. And then next thing you know, you want to do something. Oh, I can't. Why? Because we have this new program in place. Oh, that's Project 2025?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
The 900-page plus page blueprint for the 47th presidency under Donald Trump that has been published by the Heritage Foundation, the D.C. think tank powering the MAGA movement, with help from dozens of other right-wing groups, and an all-star lineup of past and future White House aides. There are like 12 people who worked in the Trump administration who have been working on Project 2025, which is why when Trump said, I believe it was on Friday, I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this. I know nothing about Project 2025. Okay.
Sure.
Sure. Now, on the one hand, he said, I know nothing about Project 2025. Two sentences later, he says, I disagree with much of it. But you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So how can you disagree with anything?
Jane, from the moment he heard about it, which I assume was very soon before that statement was made, to right that moment, he read the whole thing, processed it all.
900 plus pages.
Yep,
oh, yes.
Yep. And he's like, here are some of my major sticking points. This whole thing for me goes back to the idea that Trump is a child. And when I say that, I mean that, like, he's got the brain of a child. He needs to be loved. He needs to be accepted. He needs to be liked. And he'll do anything and say anything. One minute, Roe v. Wade is because of me. I'm the one who brought you Roe v. Wade. The end of abortion. Now he's like, well, the states can deal with it, and I'll let this, it's fine. Project 2025, we're going to get in there, and we're gonna make America great again. I don't agree with everything. That's why there are good guys and bad guys on both sides. The man can't make a commitment because he's afraid that he'll be disliked. What he doesn't realize is he's disliked. He thinks he can appeal to everyone at some point.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Oh.
That's going to be tough.
Absolutely.
If you're just joining us, we were talking about Project 2025, which is essentially a blueprint to completely rework our democracy. There's a wonderful column in the Philadelphia Inquirer from Will Bunch, who puts it together really well. We would include a link to this gift article in the show notes so you can read this article from Will Bunch. But among the Project 2025's goals, the authors are talking about a movement toward reinstating the military draft. So is a plan to eliminate NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is kind of ironic when we have Hurricane Beryl now is hitting Texas. But we don't want those experts in place to warn people. They're talking about privatizing NOAA.
Yeah, and I think one of the great ways of explaining Project 2025 and what they want to do is using the example of when the hurricane came down and the former president used a Sharpie to redraw the map.
Yeah.
They said in their explanation, it wouldn't be about having someone at NOAA or any scientist saying you can't do that. It would be the fact that they would do what they were told. And then those people in those jobs would say, you're the best at weather, sir. We would see a fundamental change and really an evaporation. I don't know. Expertise goes away.
Yes.
Expertise.
In so many different areas.
It becomes a landscape of sycophants and suck-ups. That's it. And we can't live that way. We just can't. And this is not embellishment. This is not hyperbole. This is something the Heritage Foundation says, yes, we will make happen. Just wait.
Speaking of the Heritage Foundation.
Wait, did I set you up, Jane?
Kevin Roberts, who is the president of the Heritage Foundation, was recently on some podcast talking about all of the changes that they would like to see happen should Donald Trump get a second term. Calvin, let's play that clip from Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation.
In spite of all this nonsense from the left, we are going to win. We're in the process of taking this country back. We are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless. if the left allows it to be.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so just accept it, whatever it is, then there will be no problems. But if you protest against this, there's going to be bloodshed.
You will be absolutely fine if you just lay down and take it.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening here on WAUK. I posted one of Professor Heather Cox Richardson's posts about Project 2025, where she explains so much of it and who's behind it. One of my conservative contacts commented, not authored or supported by Trump. It is the Heritage Foundation. Yeah, the Heritage Foundation is MAGA.
And the next comment from her, or the next text is, he's mentioned over 300 times in the document.
Kevin Roberts, who you just heard, president of the Heritage Foundation, said Project 2025 is a way to make sure we institute Trumpism.
Yeah, that is...
that is the goal.
Which is the GOP now, because it is run now by his family, the Trump crime family, and we got real crimes to prove it. John from Menominee Falls says, good morning. Just wondering if the Republican Party as a whole has started to try to sweep Project 2025 under the rug and make it disappear. No, not yet.
We'll see. I mean, again, it depends. More people need to know about this.
Yes.
More people need to be talking about this.
Yes.
And we are going to keep talking about this.
Absolutely.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to call in or text in. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Oh, I haven't heard that song in so long.
Wow.
That was great. That was great.
Calvin, good job.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. We are Jane Matt Nair, yes, Greg Box, Calvin Nair. Did I say that already?
You are.
On the board. We are giving away Brewers tickets for Wednesday night. The Brewers hosting the Pirates.
Pirates.
Pirates. At 7:10 at AmFam Field. Coming up at 10:50, a little Brewers trivia for you if you would like to pick up that pair of tickets for this coming Wednesday night. So stay close for that. Right now, though, we are talking about Project 2025. Seems to be a little panic among some of the Republicans because now the public is getting wind of this and now the public is starting to pay attention, which is good. Donald Trump on Friday posted on his platform that he knows nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who is behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Good word. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them. Yeah, that's kind of not true.
Even if that were true, let's live in a moment, Calvin, Jane, you, the three of us are going to live in a moment where that's true. He has no idea.
Okay.
No idea whatsoever. And the day after he takes office, he sits in the White House going, that's up back. Great to be back again. They sit down and they give him this book and say, here's Project 2025. This is what we're going to do. We want you to sign off. He'd say, okay.
Absolutely.
So whether or not he knows it is irrelevant. It exists, period. And this is the plan they want to make. And he is the leader, quote unquote, they will use to fight. Because they don't care about Donald Trump.
No,
they care about having a leader who is malleable.
Yes.
And with questionable moral fibers. As some of our listeners have said, he is amoral. and he will do what he can do to be popular. So even if he just heard about it this weekend, doesn't make a difference.
And trust me, he would never read 900 pages of anything.
Unless it said Donald Trump in every paragraph.
Every other
900,
word. Well, just about how wonderful he is.
Yes.
Over and over and over.
Sue from Franklin said it mentions him 300 times. That's not enough times for him to care.
Project 2025, friends, mentions Donald Trump over 300 times. So please don't let him say, or the Republican Party say, no, we don't know. This isn't our thing.
Yeah.
It is absolutely their thing. Yeah. Jack from Merrimack texting in, regarding those who just don't want to get involved with politics and prefer to operate from ignorance, and those who think it can't happen here. This happened during the Roman times, if not before. Plato said, quote, the price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men,
and
unquote.
I also want to make the, you know, I don't want to compare them to the Nazis, but the ascent to power from Adolf Hitler was one of legality and there was no overthrowing. There was no
right.
He made his way all the way to the top through handshakes, through political gesturing.
They made him the chancellor.
Exactly. So this is not a thing, and it's not going to be a thing where you wait for a January 6th style overthrow. This is going to happen at the ballot box. So there's only one way you can combat that then, and that is being informed on this information and voting. They're not the same. These candidates are not the same.
No, they're not.
And your vote matters. Do not tell yourself differently.
Andrew on the live stream says, one of the Facebook military veterans groups I'm on had a couple of posts showing the cuts to veterans services under Project 2025. That was not well received. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's at least four different sections that cuts VA cuts benefits for veterans.
Which they're already under enough cuts and pressure to lessen their services to these individuals who gave their time and energy for our country. Laura from Rapid says it perfectly. Trump MAGA is a Trojan horse for the Heritage Foundation Project 2025.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. We're going to be having more guests on from National Security Leaders for America over the next couple of months. And we're going to be focusing again on Project 2025 and the ramifications of instituting this. Mike from Kenosha is on the line. Thank you for your patience. Mike, what did you want to say?
Thanks for taking my call, as always. I appreciate it very much. Hey, very quickly, one of the key elements of Project 2025 is, and I believe this document was created decades ago, some other time we can go into it, but a key element of this plan appears to be having the right, quote-unquote, use of authoritative figure in order to dismantle the U.S. administrative state. So in other words, they had to first have the plan and then find the right person to institute the plan. Mm. And when you take a look at that, and then you take a look at the Heritage Foundation, which I don't know of a more influential group that's formed American policy in the last 30 or 40 years than Heritage. But Paul Wehrreich, Racine's native son, who founded that. His manifesto that he wrote up for the Council for National Policy aligns in sync with this very, very closely. So I just want to throw that out there. It's another good document, if you will, to look at that fills in some blanks with the Project 2025. But make no mistake, they are very, very well organized.
Mike, and I'm so glad you mentioned Paul Wehrreich, because Greg and I were talking about this before we went on the air. I watched a documentary over the weekend called Bad Faith, and it is essentially about the formation of the Council for National Policy, which I believe is pre-Heritage Foundation, maybe just by a little bit.
Yes.
But this this Bad Faith documentary, you can watch it on Amazon Prime Videos, 99-cent rental. I highly encourage you to watch it. This will give you a lot of background about the goals of Project 2025. And ultimately, the goal of all of this is to institute Christian nationalism.
Yes.
It absolutely is.
And all the things therein, things like, you know, women having no control over their body, staying home and being mothers at all costs, having as many babies as possible, barefoot and pregnant, that the old adage.
Gilead. Gilead 2.0.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that's a reference to, I suggest you watch Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
We have news on the way next. Don't forget baseball tickets to see the Brewers on Wednesday night, 7:10. A pair of tickets for you coming up at 10:50. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cry when you have to, feel you must, that's a part of the plan. Await your arrival, a simple survival, and one day we'll all understand. One day we'll all understand. One day we'll all
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our colleague from Up North News Radio every morning across the network from 6 to 8 a.m., Pat Kreitlow. Happy belated birthday.
Aw, thank you. Hello, good morning. That's so nice of you.
So you marked a big one last week.
I did. I marked the big 6-0.
Stop, you youngster.
My wife put on a very nice party with lots of folks, lots of party favors, including little heads on sticks that I hold up for folks watching on social media.
Oh, that's awesome.
Little Pat Kreitlow heads wearing a birthday beanie. Yeah.
You need to cut out the mouth and just make them talk. Like, just
make them into little
Terrence
puppets.
Terrence and Philip, would love to have me on their show.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
Happy belated birthday. And
thank you.
I always listen to you when Greg produces for your show. So I'm always listening
when
I'm on in the way in the morning. And we have talked about these two constitutional amendments that are going to be on the August 13th primary ballot a number of times. But I thought you did a really great encapsulation yesterday, Pat, of what this would do and why this is so important and why, at least in my estimation, it is critically important. Even if there is nothing else on your ballot, no matter where you live in Wisconsin, you have to vote on August 13th. It's really important.
You do. You have to now make a plan to vote on August 13th because the Republicans running the Wisconsin legislature set this up to engage in what I would call, constitutional mischief or electoral mischief, to take a sparsely attended election and say, let's try to amend the state constitution to sneak a fast one past the voters. And all you've got to know is that the American Rescue Plan, which provided a couple of $1 billion to help get Wisconsin through the pandemic, Congress set that up, and Governor Tony Evers, governors were given wide or full discretion on how to apply the funds. And Tony Evers applied the funds as he saw fit, and Wisconsin had one of the healthiest economic recoveries among the 50 states.
Yes.
And Republicans, pouted and stamped their feet and said, we want in on this. But this is the same bunch that has sat on multi-billion dollar surpluses now since the pandemic recovery. And you'll recall that even pre-pandemic, when there was a surplus, they talked about sitting on it, hoping Tim Michaels would win, and then they would use that surplus as tax breaks for the very wealthy.
Yep.
So they're still sitting on the money. They're sitting on PIFA's money. They're sitting on literacy money. They're sitting on hospital money. And these constitutional amendments would let them have a say in the federal aid distribution, meaning they could sit on that money too. That's what they want to do, is just sit on money and not actually solve problems, big problems that Wisconsin has sometimes.
Well, and I think it's important to point out as well, Pat, that if Tim Michaels had been elected, this would not be on the August 13th ballot, because Tim Michaels would do exactly what they wanted him to do as far as the Republicans that control the legislature. This has nothing to do with, they just don't want Tony Evers to have any power. And ever since he got elected and Scott Walker got his fifis hurt, they have been trying to claw away as much power from that office as humanly possible.
Right. It is a straight up power grab. It is nothing more than that. And that is why they took some powers away from the governor and the attorney general when they lost in 2018. And why, if they were to still be running the legislature and a Republican were to be elected governor, they would quickly provide more power to that person. That's not governing. You know, that's ruling. And we're looking for people who actually want to govern for all the people in the state, not just their minions and selected few friends.
Well, and I think it's important too, Pat, to remind people that Governor Evers, with that federal emergency dollars that came in, directed a lot of that money to Wisconsin small businesses.
Correct.
Small business owners. And had the situation been reversed, as you pointed out, and the Republicans had control of this money, their big concern would not be helping small businesses in Wisconsin stay alive during a global pandemic. It would be giving Diane Hendricks another tax cut because she needs one.
What we need to do, I could hear them saying, is we need to put as much of this money possible toward Foxconn, because that'll get us out of the pandemic. Is the faster we can pave over that farmland, the faster we can get out of this recession, which is not what would have happened at all. Instead, you had Governor Evers doing basically what should have been done with an investment the size of Foxconn originally. 10,000 small business grants of $10,000 each. And all the business had to do was either occupy or expand into storefront property on the main streets of Wisconsin towns in all 72 counties. And that's why we had such a broad economic recovery led by small business investment. It just gets me so frustrated that people still associate Republicans as the party of business. No, they're the party of big business. The party of small business is the one that actually wants to help not just the entrepreneur, but the entrepreneur who wants to help his or her workers to be able to afford health care, to get paid leave, to not be having to pollute or take other shortcuts because their big competitors do. That's where the small business power is with progressives in this state, and not with the party that's done nothing for them while staying busy taking care of big business.
Our guest is Pat Kreutlow. He is the host of Up North News Radio every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we were talking about why, and I know it's a pin in the neck, and I know people are going to be on vacation, and I know nobody wants to think about going to vote again, but you need to.
Mm-hmm.
August 13th. Yes. The primary, no matter if that's the only thing on your ballot, these two constitutional amendments that we're talking about, and as you said too, Pat, they do this by design. They do this when they know people are going to be on vacation, when summer is starting to wind down a little bit. People aren't paying attention. People are living their lives, and low turnout works really well for them.
Well, and the thing is the hypocrisy here, because these are the same folks who noticed that a lot of school districts were holding referendums at certain times, essentially trying to time out public support. And so they worked to put restrictions on when school districts could go to referendum, and yet they have no problem practicing the exact same thing. It's very reminiscent of Ohio, where the legislature, made an exception for themselves to put up a referendum that would have made it tougher to amend the Constitution to limit abortion rights. They broke their own rule because it served them. And that's exactly what you see Wisconsin Republicans controlling the legislature want to do right now.
It's so frustrating. It is. MyVote.WI.gov. We're going to keep hammering this to MyVote.WI.gov. If you're not sure if you're registered, if you have moved in the last couple of years, if you haven't checked to make sure you're still on the voter rolls, please do that. Go to MyVote.WI.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and that will bring up everything, including the ballot that you're going to be looking at on August 13th.
And if you can't
the
be
ballot
home
that- and... Oh. I'm sorry, the ballot and the place to vote, because sometimes, because of, you know, primary elections aren't as well attended, sometimes for some of these elections, they will combine polling places. So you want to make sure that where you think you're going to go is where you're actually supposed to go, Greg.
And if you can't be there for that day, if you have something going on, you have time now to go to myvote.wi.gov and request an absentee ballot for the rest of the year. So you can get one for August and you can get one for November. You can fill them out. You can send them in time. You're good to go. Drop boxes are now legal in the state of Wisconsin again.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Voting just got sexier. So
this is what we do every year here. Sherry and I get signed up for absentee ballots to be sent to us. So they'll be sent to us before August and before November. And now we'll revert to what we normally do. And that is we will eventually take them to the drop box at our sweet, beautiful little town hall in Eagle Point and drop them off at a time that's convenient for us. And everybody should be doing that.
That's so great. From Franklin texting and listening here on WAUK, isn't there a Republican primary that day? So that will encourage more Republicans to go out and vote. Eric Hovde and two others on there? I am not certain of that.
Technically, yeah. I don't know if there are others, what I would call minor candidates. There are places with primaries. There are actually more than a couple of legislative districts where either Democrats or Republicans have a primary. And of course, we've got the entire 3rd congressional district here in western and parts of central Wisconsin, right, where you have a three-way Democratic primary to see who's going to take on Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden. So there are some primaries already. It's just that we want people to know to, you know, no longer just assume, well, if I haven't heard of a primary around me, I don't go vote. Treat this just like treat it like a one issue election, whether there's a primary or not, because if you don't go vote this down, then, you know, sometime in the future, you're going to see legislatures sitting on aid that could have helped your small business or helped your family, and it won't go to you. It's your tax money. It should be coming back to you.
It's our money, Pat, but they know better. They know better where that money should go, and it goes to their donors and their wealthy friends because they need another yacht. We are talking about the two constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot on August 13th. That essentially take away more powers from the governor to decide where emergency federal funds will go. And let's not forget that at the height of the pandemic, they went on vacation for 300 days.
Right.
We didn't see them. There was they weren't concerned about it then.
No, there isn't a concern about solving problems. Otherwise, they wouldn't gavel in and gavel out nearly every special session called by Tony Evers on some very important issues. And I want to remind people, I can do this now because I'm old. There was a time when Republicans and Democrats worked together when serious issues came up, and they might have disagreed on the details, but they would recognize there is a problem, let us find ways to solve it. And now there seems to be this new dogma in the right side of the political spectrum of coming together to solve a problem is somehow weak. And compromise is somehow weak. So we're going to let the problem fester until we have absolute power with a Supreme Court and gerrymandered maps. And then we will rule as we see fit because we know best. That is not always how the Republican Party was. And just like the Democratic Party hasn't always been the way the Democratic Party is these days.
No doubt.
But this is the time we live in now, and we should not normalize this kind of obstruction.
I like that. We should not normalize this kind of. Yeah, I mean, that's it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the new party system where the old guard is surprised that things are happening. Like, wait, what's going on? Why is it this way? It's been moving this way, not glacially either. I mean, 8 years, that's.
They said, as you pointed out, Don Jr. said it during the rally before the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. The Republican Party no longer exists. It is the party now of Donald Trump.
Right. It's all his. I mean, what, 4 years ago, they didn't even have a platform. And then the thing that they approved in Milwaukee yesterday is kind of a platform, but it's also kind of more of a, you know, young Republicans, you know, thing from, you know, Eau Claire Memorial High School put together. You know, I mean, it's just so... It's a wish list that is incredibly basic and vague and says nothing about how you would do it. It's essentially saying, well, we can't just once again say whatever Donald wants. So we'll put a few things on a list.
I've been trying to think of ways to encourage folks to vote. And if you are listening, make it a day. Get three friends and go to the polls together on August 13th.
Grab lunch.
And then go to lunch or go see a movie.
Yeah.
Or go do something. It's really, really important that people get engaged about this.
Make it a day, you know, make it a day of service. That's what I still think it should be, a national holiday slash day of service, the way that they've tried to do with September 11th and some other dates. And frankly, if you are an employer in any position to do this, to say, you know what, this is the day where I'm going to encourage you all to vote, and then we're going to do something for one of our local United Ways or something like that. Make people feel good about coming together. It doesn't matter if you're Democratic or Republican. You want to help things out, and let's do that, but let's vote on the way.
We will continue our conversation with Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby, and Captain Pat Kreitlow joining us from Up North News Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. If you ever want to join us, call, text 855-752-4842. Before we forget, we promised two pairs of Brewers tickets right now. Brewers hosting the Pirates tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Callers 1 and 2, whoever gets the right answer to the trivia question, you will each pick up a pair of tickets. We have two pairs of tickets right now. Greg, what is the trivia question?
The trivia question is, what are the name of the two mascots of the Milwaukee Brewers? What is the name of the two mascots of the Milwaukee Brewers? You can see them at the games anytime you're at home. The names, first two callers, do get them right, gets the tickets.
855-752-4842. You have to call. You can't text in. 855-752-4842. First two callers who get the question correctly, the two mascots for the Milwaukee Brewers will each pick up a pair of tickets for tomorrow night as the Brewers host the Pirates at 7:10. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the two constitutional amendments that are going to be on the August 13th ballot. Steve from Milwaukee just chiming in about President Biden, but the double standard for President Trump. Trump gets so much more leeway from the media, which tells you everything you need to know. It is all about the tax breaks.
Yeah.
It is. And ratings, quite honestly.
Look, here's the disconnect here. There's the Republican Party has long been for lower taxes. And I get that. I completely get that. It's just that they used to be for lower taxes, but still with the money that was brought in, using it to solve problems and address issues.
Right.
And somehow they lost track of the other half of that equation. Now it's just cut taxes, cut government, cut services, cut everything to, as Grover Norquist famously said, you know, shrink government to the size where you can drown it in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And again, that's not what the party used to stand for. There are still plenty of people, regular folks who are Republican, conservative, whatever you want to call it, who want lower taxes, they want fewer regulations, but they still want to solve problems. They're living in the real world, and they're wishing that their politicians would do the same.
David on the live stream says, too many Republicans I talk to don't try to convince me with issues. They just say, don't you want to be on the winning side?
This isn't wrestling. This isn't sports.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. But it is. It's when you, and I get why you use, say, sports analogies. I do it. But you have to recognize the difference between the two, and that public service is not a business, and it's not sports. It is its own thing, which is why we talked the past couple of weeks about the importance of a civics education. And making sure that people understand and appreciate government and democracy.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're gonna make smart votes and smart investments. And that's what we need to encourage more of.
Let's talk in the few minutes we have remaining. We like to call him Lake Sitting Axe Throwing California Guy, Eric Hovde. But you have an even better phrase for him. I love it so much.
Professional rake stepper Eric Hovde has done it again.
He inherited that rake from his grandfather.
He did. It's an old
That's
rake.
That's right.
It's an heirloom rake.
Exactly. It's not even that. It's what he has said recently about young workers. Well, two different things. One is that they should grow up. They should not need to have affordable health insurance. They should go out and afford their own insurance and not be on their parents' plan. But then second, we should jack up the retirement age to at least in their 70s, because according to him, they might live to be 120. So yeah. I guess what, work until you're 85? Is that really the kind of future that young workers want today? I don't think so, but Eric Hovde really seems to have it in for these youngins.
Well, one of the things we were talking about earlier, we were discussing this because we listened to the clips of Eric Hovde speaking on this matter, is the fact that anybody my age or younger can fully expect to not retire at our given retirement age, because none of us are relying on Social Security, even though I've been paying into it since I was 12.
Right.
None of us are relying on that, and none of us think we're going to be able to retire, because that's just not how it is. So maybe I'll work until I'm 110 then, because I do not in any way, shape, or form think what Eric Hovde is proposing is even remotely a solution. But also, he thinks that there's this magical world in which I'll just be able to clock out one day and be like, all right, everybody, me and the wife, we're going to travel America now. I got my gold watch. I got my pension. Thanks, everyone. No, that's not how it is. The world's changed, and not for the better, mm-hmm, for us. I want my money back.
Well, I think there's a lot of frustration for folks. And I think, good heavens, if you remember back to when we were in the midst of the COVID pandemic and the shutdowns happened, which, by the way, the first shutdowns during COVID happened under Donald Trump. That's when things got shut down initially, just in case we forget. Yeah. But there was one lawmaker who said at some point, I think grandparents should be willing to sacrifice themselves for the sake of their grandchildren and go back to the workforce, even though you might be additionally vulnerable. You know, do it for the kids. Yeah. Do it for the kids.
Yeah. I don't get it, honestly. I don't have an easy answer to this kind of a mindset about just supporting workers. Support the workers, not just the employers, not just the investor class. Support your workers, and don't do it just through scaring them. You know, for example, we played some of that Ron Johnson audio recently where he said, you know, part of the reason he ran for a third term was that nobody else was a voice for the vaccine injured.
What?
That never came up. Never came up. I mean, I thought he was running because Mandela Barnes apparently was burning down our cities or something based on all the commercials. Why can't you just stand with the workers and be honest?
Folks,
where you stand?
I'm going to run for office because I have to stand up for the bicycle inhibited. See, I can make up words too, Ron, and that doesn't make any more sense. Yeah, I mean, it's just so, and I, you know what? I had a point, but I made a joke instead. Now it's gone. Goodbye.
Now I forgot what he was saying.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you join Pat Kreitlow every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. He has a great show. Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, birthday boy. Thank you so much for taking some time, Pat. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to talk to you guys. Have a great day.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk about hiking the Ice Age Trail. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.